gentlemen, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this edition of the show. We are smack dab in the middle of the chaos that is NFL free agency, tampering period, really, if you will, because free agency doesn't officially open until 4 o'clock tomorrow. But for the Eagles, I mean, basically the first crazy activity all came yesterday. To recap it, we talked about the Malik Jackson signing, getting him over from the Jacksonville Jaguars, trading for DeSean Jackson, the reunion that I've been pounding the table for 2 years, finally happens. I cracked out the old black and green DeSean Jackson jersey I bought in like 2011. I'm totally surprised that it still fits me. It's a youth large, but that goes to show you I'm a smaller guy even at 21, so I'm still rocking it. And it was a great, great day yesterday. The Eagles could not have had a better start bringing in the Jackson duo. I think both sides are going to really help the offense and defense. And we got into it yesterday on the podcast, me and Gino. We actually had a live reaction to the DeSean Jackson news because we were actually touching on Jason Peters coming back yesterday as well, which was another great move for the Eagles that I've been really clamoring for this offseason. But yeah, we had a live, real fanboy reaction to DeSean Jackson coming back. And while, look, I am part of the Eagles media, but at the same time, like, I grew up watching DeSean Jackson, so the initial reaction was pretty much the 12-year-old fan in me coming out with pure excitement. And really, but it's not just because of what DeSean Jackson did for Philadelphia. It was also that reaction was because of the excitement I'm thinking about we're going to see and we're going to have and we're going to feel in 2019, because you add DeSean Jackson to this offense now, and I'm going to get into it. I don't know if there's a team in the NFL that has as much versatility on offense and as much firepower for their quarterback in the NFL. I mean, the Rams have great talent, the Saints, the Patriots, the Chiefs, but you look at the Eagles now and they are five deep in the pass game. They're going to add some running backs. So that wasn't just me, the 12-year-old Eagles fan, wanting to, my DeSean Jackson guy back, right? My favorite player growing up. But it was also a move that I believed in, right? So if LeSean McCoy came back and I really wasn't all on board, or if they brought back Jeremy Maclin, I wouldn't have had the same reaction because, again, they don't bring, or at least Maclin wouldn't. I think McCoy still would. I think he has a lot left in the tank, and he's got to feel pretty bummed that DeSean's coming back, and he's meanwhile still in Buffalo, and he really never has moved on from Philadelphia. But anyway, like, if it was Jeremy Maclin, it wouldn't be the same reaction that I would have had, because again, it's not just about what DeSean Jackson has done in his career, it's what he can still do at 33 years old. I bet you if DeSean Jackson participated in the NFL Combine 2 weeks ago in Indianapolis, I bet you he beats everybody in the 40 time, right? Paris Campbell ran, what, a 4.31? So maybe he's right there with Paris Campbell. He is still in the 4.3s, still one of the most explosive players in football, as last year he led the league in yards per reception at 33 years old. So we're going to get into Jackson, talk about the character concerns that some people have, get into how this impacts Nelson Agholor, and how it really impacts the offense in general. I really want to continue to touch on this DeSean Jackson topic, because yesterday it was kind of just the raw emotions and our first initial thoughts about Jackson, but now I had a night to really digest it, to really get into what I think it does for this Eagles team. And while we have a little lull period here while everyone else is going crazy trying to get Le'Veon Bell and the Bills signing John Brown and Cole Beasley and all these offensive linemen and the Jets splurging all this money on C.J. Mosley and Anthony Barr before he pulled a Frank Gore on the Eagles and backed out and went back to Minnesota. So the Eagles seem like they're on the quiet front right now as they probably wait out this crazy safety and linebacker market, as Jordan Hicks today got a big 4-year contract worth $36 million to the Arizona Cardinals. We'll touch on that again tomorrow in our free agency special. We'll get into basically everything else that there is to talk about with Eagles free agency tomorrow in the free agency special, which, again, like yesterday's episode, you can check out on LockedOnEagles.com, on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiaseLOE, or at Gino_LOE, or just tell your smart device in your car, you know, your 27-minute commute to work or back home, finish off the day right or start the day off right with Locked On Eagles. We've had some really exciting episodes these pretty much the entire offseason, and now tomorrow we really get into it. We got some fan questions, what you can continue to ask on our Twitter accounts. We're going to get into the other pending free agents that the Eagles could go after at running back. They still haven't addressed at linebacker, safety, defensive end, maybe. What about the free agents right now that were on the Eagles, like Ronald Darby and Jay Ajayi and Tim Jernigan now on the open market. So we'll get into all that on tomorrow's free agency special. But for today, I want to continue to touch on the DeSean Jackson move, because for the Malik Jackson move, I think it's clear, and we'll get into that more in detail tomorrow as well. That's a clear, just great move, adding a guy that Fletcher Cox has never had a Malik Jackson-type talent next to him when we're just talking about raw pass-rushing ability. Tim Jernigan in 2017, probably the best player Cox has ever played with in the middle. Malik Jackson, upgrade. I know he's a little bit older at 29 years old, but for $10 million a year, as opposed to Jernigan's $13 million hit, great move yesterday. I think DeSean Jackson is more of a back-and-forth conversation that some people like. Other people, I think a lot of fans that are around my age, mid-20s, teenagers that remember watching DeSean from 2008 to 2014 are a little more excited than maybe the older fans. But regardless, I think this is a great move. And part of the reason that it could be a risk, and I'll be one to admit, DeSean Jackson was not the most stand-up guy in Philadelphia the first time around. The character concerns is something that I totally understand. The money is not something I understand. It's not something that I'm willing to agree on as to why you should be concerned. The age to me still isn't, based on the contract extension they gave him for 3 years, but it's at $9 million a year. They can really get out of that next year or the year after if they want to. Basically, Howie Roseman, three-year contracts are always two-year deals, or it's kind of a year-by-year basis based on what they want to do. So I'm not really into those excuses as to why it's not a good move, but the character stuff, I do understand. I think, again, in Philadelphia the first time around, you look at 2012 when he wasn't happy not getting that contract until later on. I think the Seattle game was where he was kind of stirring some stuff up on the sidelines. Andy Reid deactivated him in a year where they were 8-8 and they only missed the playoffs by a game. Still not over that. That Dream Team year, I think people forget how close they actually were to making the postseason. And DeSean was kind of a distraction throughout that year. So, yeah, there have been times, even last year in Tampa Bay, there were situations where Buccaneers fans and media members were like, DeSean has been kind of a problem. I'm going to get into that as well, though. I don't know if that's as serious as we should consider. But I think he's done a lot of growing up since Chip Kelly got rid of him in 2014. And once again, even though DeSean Jackson was sometimes a problem in Philadelphia the first time around, that to me still doesn't excuse Chip Kelly getting rid of him, because to me, the reasons Chip Kelly got rid of him were not because of that. I think Chip just simply didn't like DeSean as a person. I think he thought that his scheme was what made DeSean Jackson have career highs in 2013. And I think simply Chip Kelly had a massive ego and he didn't like star power that had big personalities. And that whole story came out on NJ.com about him having gang affiliations and kind of almost insinuating that he's part of gangs, and I think that was total nonsense. He grew up with people that kind of got pulled into that area of society, but DeSean Jackson's never gotten trouble off the field. He's never been arrested when he's been in the NFL. He's not getting into domestic violence situations or anything with drugs. It's mostly just sometimes he can be maybe a little bit of a distraction. He's someone you got to keep happy in the locker room, but that was in the past. I think now he has done a lot of growing up. You look at, he really points to when he became a father. But when he got traded to Washington, in a team that, again, DeSean Jackson hasn't had a playoff win since 2008 when the Eagles made that run to the NFC Championship game. So he goes to Washington. They make the playoffs, one time with DeSean? I think that second year with Kirk Cousins. And they lost to the Green Bay Packers in the wild card round. They had Pierre Garçon there as well, who had over 1,000 yards a couple times. Josh Reed. Right? Was kind of thinking of somebody else I thought was the tight end, but it wasn't. They had other weapons, and DeSean Jackson, you didn't hear anything bad about him in Washington. In fact, the Redskins were another team that had interest in DeSean if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did release him and he hit the open market. So he wasn't really a distraction in Washington. And then in Tampa Bay, look, I think what happened in Tampa Bay was he started off really hot with Ryan Fitzpatrick. They were competing in games against really good teams like the Saints and the Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and DeSean was getting his passes down the field. And then Jameis Winston comes in, a guy that got suspended, really has not panned out as that first overall pick back in 2015. He fails to get the ball to DeSean Jackson. They're not winning football games. Winston is turning the ball over. He's not someone that DeSean really clicked with as a person. And I think, to me, honestly, he just kind of checked out of that situation because he's an older veteran now that he wants to win now. And that's something that I don't think was a priority for him back in the day, where now it is. So I don't blame him for having frustration with that Tampa Bay culture and with the decision to go back to Jameis Winston and how they were losing football games. When in the first place, I think the only reason he went to Tampa Bay was for the big contract, right, of $12+ million that the Eagles did not want to give him in 2017. They instead decided to go after Alshon Jeffrey and make Torrey Smith that deep threat. So, you know, I think in the first place, he wasn't really committed to playing in Tampa Bay, and yet he still played 2 years there. And while I think at the end of the season last year, he was really checked out, you didn't hear a whole lot about him being a distraction at the beginning of the season or in the season of 2017. So I think he's done a lot of growing up. I don't think it's something you have to worry about as much. And him coming back, him wanting to come back, being as ecstatic as he was about being traded to the Eagles, tells you a lot about how he's grown. Because again, he could have hoped that he was in free agency, right? And he could have went after another big payday. You don't think a team like the New York Jets were going to shell out $10+ million like they did for a guy like Jameson Crowder? You know, we're looking around the league, and that's the kind of deals players like this are getting, especially for someone as fast and as dangerous down the field as DeSean Jackson. He could have wanted that, right? But even if he was being released, his preferred destination was Philadelphia. And he's got to know the weapons. He knows Zach Ertz is there, and Alshon Jeffrey's there, and Nelly's there, and they're going to add running backs, and Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson like to spread the football around. He knew that going in, and yet he still wanted Philadelphia to be his preferred destination, because I think now he has changed where he really truly does care about winning. And even that has changed just in a couple years, because he could have came back to Philadelphia in 2017, and I think he regrets taking the money in Tampa Bay because the Eagles that year went on to win the Super Bowl. And he was even on Undisputed on Fox Sports. I just remember watching him a couple days after the Eagles parade, and just the look on his face when he was saying how happy he was for guys like Jason Peters and Brandon Graham that he played with, and Nick Foles and Zach Ertz, just on his face you could tell, like, because then he was talking about, he was bashing Chip Kelly after, you could tell this was a guy that did not want to leave the organization. And I think he really did change his priorities now, and he's still getting $9 million a year if he plays out all 3 years of this $27 million contract, but it really was about contending. So I think that should make you feel better about his character change as well, because he knows what the type of offense Doug Peterson runs, he knows the type of players that are already in the system, and he still wanted to be that guy, right? This could be a guy that's your, what, fifth best pass catcher at this point, or fifth most targeted pass catcher, and he still chose to come here. He's not a guy anyway that needs 13 targets. He's not Antonio Brown, where I think he's going to be throwing Gatorade bottles around and you know, causing ruckus on the sidelines because he's not getting 13 targets in a game. This is a player that only needs, what, 4 or 5 targets in a game to make a significant... All it takes is one, right? All it takes is that Monday Night Football in Washington, play action pass on first down, the first play of the game, Michael Vick to DeSean Jackson, 74-yard touchdown. All he needs is that one play to make a significant impact. And that's why I think people talking about, well, he's got to come off the field in the red zone, which I don't really agree with, and he's not really worth the money considering what option he would be in the passing game. It only takes that one play in a game for him to be worth that $9 million contract. So, I am not concerned about the character at all. I think that it was a concern in the past, but I'm really convinced that based on, you know, Howie Roseman even wanting him back, that speaks volumes, because Howie Roseman was still technically the general manager in 2014 when Chip Kelly decided that he wanted DeSean Jackson out. So Howie Roseman bringing him back is kind of telling that that was more of a Chip move than a Howie move, and I think that was pretty obvious from the start. When we come back here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, we're going to get into Nelson Agholor and how DeSean Jackson coming back, at least for the next couple years, how it impacts Nelson Agholor. Is he going to get a new contract? Sounds like he's staying for at least 2019. We'll talk about that, his impact, and we'll also get into the impact DeSean's going to have on the offense in 2019. I think it's going to be a big positive that could outweigh any risks of him off the field and in this locker room. This is Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back to this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Real quick, before we get into the Nelson Agholor side of this DeSean Jackson trade, another part of this, too, as to why I'm not concerned about Jackson, I think the culture is so much more solidified right now in Philadelphia than it was when everything was unraveling in 2012, right? This was a team that had no identity. They went all in on free agency. None of these guys had pride in being a Philadelphia Eagle. They went 4-12. They went 8-8 and then 4-12. Right? So Andy Reid was 1 foot out the door. He was about to get fired. Whereas now this is an Eagles team that made a Super Bowl run, then a deep run into the playoffs in 2018. They have an incredible culture, a player-friendly culture where they really are responsible for it. And you have leadership like Malcolm Jenkins, right, on the in the locker room, and Brandon Graham and Carson Wentz and all these guys, that I think Deshaun's going to come in and it's going to be really hard for him to cause problems. And even if he did, he is not someone that they need like they needed last time. He is not the number one receiver he was for those first 6 years he started with the Eagles. Now he's going to be your third receiver and probably your fifth most targeted player, with Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert also getting targets. So I have so much faith in Doug Peterson, of all people, to bring Deshaun in and get the most out of him, both on the field and in the locker room. And based on the culture that's already been solidified, I'm not worried about it at all. As for Nelson Agholor, it appears, per Jeff McClain of the Philadelphia Inquirer, that despite Deshaun Jackson coming in, he is going to be staying for at least the 2019 season. I think it is the right move. And even if, you know, some people are saying now, well, why are they going to keep Nelson Agholor also on $9.5 million when you can go draft his replacement in the slot? To me, Deshaun Jackson is a move to complement Nelson Agholor, to let him go back into the slot. It's to complement Alshon Jeffrey. It's not to replace Nelson Agholor. Nelson Agholor is 8 years younger than Deshaun Jackson. So Deshaun Jackson coming in is not me wanting to now get rid of Nelson Agholor, especially considering Deshaun Jackson's only on a three-year contract that, you know, they could get out of basically at any time that they want. So I'm still keeping a 25-year-old receiver in Nelson Agholor that's growing with Carson Wentz, that made significant strides again in 2018 despite a lot of factors, out, you know, exterior factors holding him back. At $9.5 million, guys, that's not a lot of money. It's not. Look, you look at some of the players making $9.5 million. You look at some of the guys making $8+ million. This is what it takes now to retain players of Nelson Aguilar's value. He's not getting overpaid. This is just what the market is now. Wide receiver twos, wide receiver threes make $7+ million. So unless you're going to just continue to let receivers walk after the rookie contracts, which I don't want to do. I don't want to skimp on weapons for Carson Wentz. I saw how 2016 was. I don't want to go back to that. I want to have five weapons for Carson Wentz to go to through the air, and then a running back that you could also go to. Nelson Agholor, to me, I want him more so than Deshaun Jackson. If it was going to be Nelly or Deshaun, I'm taking Agholor all day. 8 years younger, makes the same plays down the field, maybe not the same consistency on the outside as Deshaun. But look, even if you were going to draft a guy, I'm keeping Nelson Agholor because he is one of the few players on this offense, along with Dallas Goedert, that could be here for another, you know, 7 years with Carson Wentz to grow as one of those core pieces. So yeah, is it a lot of money to invest 14 in Alshon and 9-9 with Deshaun Jackson, Nelson Agholor? Sure, but you look at it based on the other players, what the market is, based on what the Eagles' salary cap situation is, and this is something that they can afford. It's a luxury that they can afford, but I think Agholor is also someone that should be in the long-term plans. Compared to a guy like Deshaun Jackson, who's 33, he's not in the plans long-term. He is someone here to help you win a Super Bowl in the next two seasons. So I think Deshaun helps Nelson Agholor. I think that they could still get an extension done, but this is what it takes to retain good receivers, $8+ million. And yeah, you can draft his replacement, but look how long a guy like Agholor took to really develop, and he's still, to me, not reached his ceiling at 25 years old. You saw how bad those first 2 years went. Receivers take a longer time. So you're going to let Nelson Agholor walk, and then are you going to draft a receiver high? Because if you take a guy in the fourth round like a DeMarcus Lodge, there's no guarantee that eventually he can just become that number two after Deshaun Jackson moves on in 2 years. So I think it's still a priority to retain Nelson Agholor. It is not a lot of money to keep him on 9.5. I don't think for his production compared to other players, for what he could do now in this offense, and based on his age, I mean, again, 8 years younger, I'm not willing to give up a player like that is making significant strides year after year, despite, again, Golden Tate coming in, Carson Wentz's injuries, not really getting him the ball down the field, an overemphasis on Zach Ertz over the middle, just they changing the way they use Aguilar more as a gimmick guy early on in the season. And despite that, he still matched his 2017 numbers in an offense that, by the way, always is going to spread the football around. So I'm still not into getting rid of Nelson Aguilar. I'm not trying to go cheap on weapons. And considering DeSean Jackson's not going to be here, you know, 5 years down the road, and Alshon Jeffrey probably won't be either, I want Nelly still a part of this team. All right, let's take another break. When we come back, I want to get into more of the offensive impact that DeSean Jackson is going to have on this 2019 Eagles team. There are a lot of possibilities. I mean, you got to be just drooling about the possibilities, the weapons, the talent that Carson Wentz is going to have next season to bounce back from that 2018 campaign. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everyone, welcome back. Just think. DeSean Jackson on the outside, Alshon Jeffrey on the outside, Nelson Aguilar in the slot, Zach Ertz in the slot, right? Four wide. You get maybe a Josh Jacobs at running back. The offensive line that they have intact, right? They retained everybody outside of Wiz, but Sam Alu's the starter at left guard anyway. Jason Peters coming back on a one-year contract. Carson Wentz is going to be an MVP candidate next year. This is the, on paper, the 2019 offense is better than 2018's, even with Golden Tate, and 2017's, the team that won the Super Bowl. That was one of the best offensive performances they put on in the playoffs that I've ever seen. This might be the most talented the Eagles offense has ever been. You go back to those, you know, mid-2000s, right? DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, LeSean McCoy, Brent Celek, Michael Vick. That was a pretty explosive offense as well. But this, they are, again, they are five deep, and they are all, you can do everything. There's so many options. Everybody can, you have a little bit of everything. You have the size in Goddard, Ertz, and Jeffrey, right? The catch radius, the contested catches, the route running of Zach Ertz, the hands of, you know, in the run after the catch of Dallas Goedert and Nelson Aguilar, and Aguilar's versatility of making deep plays in the slot over the middle, right? A great guy that when he gets rolling 10, 15 yards down the field across the middle, he is a player that is as explosive as anyone. He's got wheels, much like DeSean Jackson now. You add on the outside with his world-class speed, a guy that now you can't have safeties in the box at this point. You're going to have at least one guy deep to take into account DeSean Jackson. I mean, Jackson's going to open up stuff for everybody. And I think with Doug Peterson's creativity, they're going to get back to using him in the reverse game like Andy Reid used to. I think in the screen game as well, he's going to be much more efficient than Golden Tate. Maybe in the backfield, too. Like, just imagine empty sets where they don't even have a running back on the field. And you just go Carson Wentz alone in shotgun. You have three guys on one side, right? It's, let's say, Alshon, Ertz, and Goddard. And then on the other side, you have Aguilar and DeSean. How are you going to stop that offense? There are just 11 personnel, 12 personnel. The Eagles can beat you any way now in the passing game. And that's the way you're supposed to do it. Again, look at the four teams that made the conference championships last year. All four were top four in offense and passing offense. Last year, how many quarterbacks completed more than 63% of their passes? It was the majority. That never happens. Normally, it's like, you know, four guys that complete more than 63, 64% of their passes. The offensive revolution in the NFL is now. And you have to get as many weapons as possible while you still have a quarterback in Carson Wentz of an elite level when he's healthy, still on a rookie contract. It's why, again, I'm okay paying $18 million combined for Aguilar and DeSean and another, what, $13-14 for Alshon Jeffrey? Because not only can they afford it right now, but it does so much for your quarterback that it's not a bad thing. You should invest in quarterback, offensive and defensive line, and then to me, you know, weapons. Because, again, we saw in 2016, what was the big thing that held this Eagles team back? I think, outside of Wentz being a rookie quarterback and Peterson being a rookie head coach, I thought it was Zach Ertz being the only formidable, consistent target. Even Jordan Matthews struggled with drops. Again, Doriel Green Beckham, Josh Huff, and Nelson Aguilar, number 17 Nelson Aguilar. Look how far they have come in just three seasons. Where now they have five weapons that I don't think another NFL team has as much versatility and as much talent in the passing game. Again, I think this might be the most talented core of weapons the Eagles have ever had. On paper, this 2019 Eagles team looks better than the team last year that almost made the NFC Championship game, and the 2017 team that, I'm not going to say they're better, on paper they maybe look almost as talented, but that team won the Super Bowl. So this is a guy that just last year broke Jerry Rice, DeSean Jackson we're talking about, just broke Jerry Rice's 60-plus yard touchdown record. He averaged the most yards per completion in the league just last year. He is not a player we're just adding for nostalgic reasons. I'm not as concerned about character issues. I think the fit in the offense is perfect for what he's going to do for these tight ends and for Nelson Aguilar and for Carson Wentz. And with Doug Peterson's creativity, I'm just, yeah, and of course, the fan side of me, extremely excited about it. But from a football perspective and even from a character perspective now, I think it's the right time to take this quote-unquote risk with bringing Jackson back. And no, it does not mean for me the end of Nelson Aguilar. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Hope you guys join us tomorrow for the free agency special. Again, if you have any questions about what running back you want the Eagles to add, any underrated signings they can make tomorrow or the next couple weeks of free agency before the draft, if you have draft questions as well that impact free agency, drop us a line on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase, LOE, or Gino Camilleri, at Gino_LOE. And of course, check out our written content as well at LockedOnEagles.com. Had a really good piece yesterday about how these reunions of Nick Foles, DeSean Jackson, and Jordan Matthews say a lot about the highly praised culture of the city of Philadelphia as a sports town and of the Eagles organization. For myself, Lou DiBiase, signing off, this has been Locked On Eagles. As always, thanks for downloading, thanks for listening, and let's go Birds!